It's like all the pawns were already set, just like 9/11, just like Oklahoma City.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
Believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We will take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Is global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date's the day after tax day. It's April 16th, 2013. We are live right now. As I move my hand, you're actually seeing it live across the country, across the world. Those of you who are Prison Planet TV members, and we thank you for your support. Next to me, I've got David Knight and Jakari Jackson, and we are going to break down what has been going on the last 2 days with this Boston Marathon bombing and the things that we're seeing that the mainstream media is not reporting on, and even when they do report on it, the way they frame the debate. So we're going to start on with a timeline of the events from that day, what happened. We're going to go into some aftermath stuff. We're even going to cover some of the stories that we didn't cover on yesterday's nightly news because we just went into full-blown media or full-blown Boston Marathon bombing coverage. And also, at the end of this live portion, we pre-taped an interview today with Christina Tobin. She's from freeandequal.org. She's an organization. She's started an organization that's basically trying to put an end to the two-party system, trying to bring the voice of the independents up, which means there are going to be a variety of opinions out there in that independent world. And not all of them, you know, that I agree with, that's for sure. But, you know, it's better to have, I think, more opinions than one opinion coming from a fake Democrat and a fake Republican. And with that, we're going to get started. Got our two co-panelists here, Jakari Jackson, David Knight. And guys, let's just start off. Let's start with the bombing today. What happened and what, you know, what's the media been doing?
Well, I guess the first thing is there was a lot of confusion. Initially, there was a bombing at 2:50. And, of course, some of the first runners were getting through about a couple hours before that, the fastest one. So they kind of waited until there were more people massed at the finish line. And there was a lot of confusion yesterday on the Twitterverse about the fact that the Boston Police Department had announced that they were going to do a controlled demolition. And because it was that was regarding this bomb in front of the JFK Library that was yesterday. Now, that happened so close to the other bombing. In other words, there were two bombs that went off about 15 seconds apart from each other. And then this third bomb was a controlled demolition, so we believe at this point, that happened less than an hour afterwards, okay, at the JFK. Now, when people saw that being tweeted, some of the timestamps on Twitter, because of the time differences, people on the West Coast looked at that and said, that was tweeted before the bomb. We believe that that's not the case. We believe that that was done afterwards. But looking at the timeline that Fox put out, it is kind of interesting what they put out. They say that the Boston police are changing the story. They show the distance of about 2 hours, which I believe is longer than the amount of time that was there on the Fox timeline. And they say on their timeline, Boston police announce a third possible explosion at JFK Library near the location of the marathon explosions. So they're saying in their timeline that, oh, the police don't really know what's there, that it's not a controlled explosion. And then they say about an hour later that the Boston Police Department says the JFK incident appears to be fire-related rather than bomb-related, but is still under investigation. And what we were hearing last night was the Boston Police Department was saying, yes, there was a fire at the library, the JFK library, and there was a controlled demolition, but we didn't start the fire. Okay, they were not related, like you heard with Chris Dorner.
Right. We didn't start the fire.
They didn't start the fire. So they were saying that those two things were not related. But immediately you had
bomb right doesn't after, mean bomb, fire doesn't mean fire.
That's right. We don't really know what's going on there at the library. I mean, that's something.
Well, I got a question real quick. Why would they even go forward with a bomb exercise after two other bombs have gone off? Why? Is it just business as usual in Boston? Two bombs go off, so let's just continue with our bombing exercise? That they tweet?
I don't know why they would do something.
I mean,
like
well, that's weird on its face, right there.
From some of the sources, it appeared that they found an unexploded bomb and detonated it.
Right.
Now, we had a guy who called earlier today when we were on the taking phone calls, and he was with EOD. Training, and he said that it was very unlikely, in his opinion, that they would have been able to do that so quickly. You know, after you've just had two large bomb explosions, if they find another unexploded bomb, they're going to take a while to try to coordinate, not do it that quickly.
Yeah.
And then that was Mike Adams' point as well. You know,
when they're in Oklahoma City, they actually stopped the rescuers from going in and getting victims out while they brought out the second and third bomb that they reported on the news many times. The governor reported on it.
That's right.
All these people reported on it, but then the next day it turned into, no, there, it was a car bomb, then it was a truck bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that hit Oklahoma City. And we have the same thing now where there were no other unexploded bombs found, which is, I think, their way of mopping up the fact that they had a drill going on and they just didn't want that coming out. Because
Eyewitness testimony about that. And that was our thing. Now, before we start talking about what Alex said and what we said, wanted to look at what CNN analysts said. I mean, they jumped on this right away. And actually, Peter Bergen with CNN, who's pointing the finger at right-wing extremists, he had actually put out something on April the 4th or 5th saying that right-wing terrorists were who we really need to be worried about, not Islamic terrorists. And he was trying to make some points looking at statistics, and they were incredibly small, the number of incidences that they could look at that were either from Islamic or right-wing, so-called right-wing terrorists. Very small number of incidences, but he's saying we need to have a massive push. And when you look at the number of incidences, I think it was like maybe 4 Islamic incidences and 15 that they attributed to right-wing hate groups. When you look at that, you have to wonder, why are we spending billions upon billions of dollars, and we have this massive Homeland Security, and we have this TSA operation that is absolutely ineffective? Congressman who started it down in Florida is talking about how ineffective it was and what a joke it was and how he needed to pull the plug on it. Of course, he didn't. But, you know, we look at this and we say they're totally incompetent. They can't catch the drills when they run their own guys through the TSA stuff. And yet, in spite of all that, we haven't had any terrorist attacks in that amount of time until we see this incident here. But Peter Bergen was already gunning for right-wing terrorists. And so when he got on CNN, he's pointing the finger at right-wing terrorists.
I think we have a clip of that, too, of him pointing out the fact that it was right-wing extremists. And let us know when you have that, and we'll go to it. But one thing I want to say before that is it wasn't with Peter Bergen. It was with
O'Reilly?
No, I lost the point. Let's go to that clip, and I'll think about it while we're there. I had it on the tip of my tongue.
National security analyst Peter Bergen. Peter, does this, we don't want to speculate, we don't know what this was, but is there reason for people who deal in counterterrorism to think that this is an act of terrorism? Or suspect it strongly, at least.
Sure, although I'm reminded of Oklahoma City, which was a bombing, which was initially treated as a gas explosion. So first reports are often erroneous.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that there were two explosions, I mean, two bombings. You know, one of the things I'd be looking at is, once the device, if it is a device, is found, is what kind of explosives were used. So, for instance, if it was hydrogen peroxide, this is sort of a signature of Al-Qaeda. If it was more conventional explosives, which are much harder to get hold of now, that might be some other kind of right-wing extremists. And we We've seen a number of failed bombing attempts by al-Qaeda using bombs, Najib al-Azazi in 2009, but we've also seen other extremists.
So a couple things there. First off, he talks about OKC being, at first they thought it was a gas line, which was like one of the first things that came out. There wasn't tons and tons of news reports saying, hey, they found a second and third bomb. They're not letting first responders in there now to rescue people. They're still trapped in the rubble because they found a second and third bomb. They're larger than the first. This is what we've been told by the authorities in there. The bomb squad's going in. You see the car driving in there to get the people. In fact, if you watch 9/11 Road to Tyranny, a good 20 minutes of that film is devoted just to news reports of that day. Another thing I want to point out, and this is what I was thinking about before we went to that clip, there, I was reading reports that the security there was the biggest that they've ever had. They had more security than they've ever had at any a race event in Boston. And yet, we still have an event. Somebody's still able to get through that tight net. So does
And we had Peter King, this Republican neocon, calling for more cameras. How many more cameras could you have than everybody focused at the finish line of the Boston Marathon? You even got all the amateur cameras besides everybody else that's going to want to be right there where the finish line is.
Yeah, and I was watching SportsCenter. I was out on a break a few minutes ago, and on SportsCenter, the guys, the two anchors, I don't know their names, are talking about Mrs. Napolitano, saying that, yeah, we need more security at these events. These things are going to keep happening if we don't have more security at the at these events, at the Super Bowl, at your Boston Marathons and what have you.
Right. They're following the script right there, and that is to have TSA at every event, anywhere we go outside of our homes, maybe even in our toilets, if you follow the South Park thing.
Government is the only organization that can fail miserably and say, you know what, we just need more of exactly what we just did.
I got an email, one of these threads that flits around. It said the Department of Energy was created to lessen our dependence on foreign oil. And at the time, we were getting 30% of our oil from foreign sources. Well, now after billions of dollars that we spend on the Department of Energy, all the power they have, we are now getting 70% of our oil from foreign sources. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is just to make the Department of Energy bigger. And, you
know, give them more money. And
exactly.
All that,
if we pour more gasoline on this fire, maybe it'll go out. It seems to be
Absolutely.
So let's continue on. We've got more stuff. There's an article in InfoWars, experts blame right-wing terrorists. We just went over that.
And that's a guy from UN coordinator of al-Qaeda and Taliban monitoring team. And, of course, he wants to blame it on domestic terrorists. He says, of course, we don't know yet, but the relatively small size of the devices suggested work of a domestic extremist. So he's casting.
There you go. Case closed.
Yeah.
Domestic extremist. Mediaite went after.
They're kind of defending.
Wolf Blitzer did not blame Wright for Boston bombing. Doesn't have to apologize to anyone. So they were kind of backtracking. What actually did Wolf Blitzer say?
Well, he came out. Yeah, he was one of the very first ones, and he immediately said, and this is the quote from what he said. He said, "It is a state holiday in Massachusetts today called Patriots Day, and who knows if that had anything at all to do with these explosions." So he's kind of just dropping the name. I mean, he didn't do it as explicitly as Peter Bergen did, but Peter Bergen is with the same network, CNN, and did it. And then we have a clip from O'Reilly basically going, hey, you know, going down a laundry list of all the different things and most of them pointing towards right-wing domestic terrorists, as they would say.
Right. Do we have the O'Reilly clip? Okay. Yep, so we're going to go to that clip in a second. And we have clip after clip. We've been grabbing stuff. We have so much stuff, we're probably going to miss some of it. But here's O'Reilly right now talking about how the right is
defined. So far, no one has claimed responsibility for the attack. Perhaps it's a coincidence, but this week marks the anniversary of attacks in Oklahoma City, Columbine, Colorado, and Virginia Tech. Also, the Waco assault in 1993.
Oh, wait, who did the assaulting in Waco?
That's right. Yeah, who did that?
That was a case. And we're going to have the makers of a couple of old Waco films that are being reissued here on Friday. I'm going to get in touch with that individual there.
Rules of Engagement? Is that one of them?
No, it's not Rules of Engagement. One's the FLIR Project, and the other one, I forget the name. I've been combing the news lately, these last few days, and just kind of blown away at how all this stuff goes on. Let's go to the UM coach. We have that clip. He's a guy who's basically what we've been basing a lot of what we've seen on is just him saying, hey, I've never seen this much security at a race. They had bomb-sniffing dogs everywhere. And then there's loudspeakers saying, you know, everybody be calm, remain calm.
Just before the blast.
Right.
Do you have a clip of that? Or
we do have a clip of that. We do have a full screen of that, which has the video. And his name is Alistair Stevenson.
And in the meantime, Dan Badani also had a chance to talk to some of the runners and some of the athletes out there mm-hmm. on the scene, and they said similar things. They hadn't seen so much security. You know, I'm sure there are security, advices out there. But
and he was saying that starting at the starting line in the morning, they had bomb sniffing dogs and a bomb squad out there, and they kept announcing to the runners not to be alarmed. This was a training exercise, okay,
yeah.
a drill type mm-hmm. of thing, right?
But there's no connection. Yeah, we're going to go to that clip now.
At the start line this morning, they had bomb spotters on the roof of the building, and they had bomb sniffing dogs coming up and down at the start line. And Melanie said there was bomb sniffing dogs at the finish line, but they kept making announcements saying to the participants, do not worry, this is just a training exercise. Well, evidently, I don't believe they were just having a training exercise. I think they must have known, they must have had some kind of threats or suspicions called in. At the start line this morning.
There you go. And I think there's a picture out there. McBreen, if you type in spotter or seen on roof, or it's a mysterious person, it kind of looks like a Bigfoot image of a guy walking like this on top of a roof and, you know, nonchalantly after the bombs blasted, he's just getting up and moseying on his way. Who is this guy?
Diddler
is he involved?
Diddler on the roof.
That's
right.
That's a good question. Like I posed today on the Alex Jones radio show. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised that he was the only person photographed on roofs. Because, you know, many times they have sporting events and jogs and runs, and people who live in the area, they'll go on top of the roof.
To watch.
They'll hang out their windows. But this is the only guy we saw on the roof. I thought that was very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess at that point, people probably saw bombs, and any normal person was going for cover. You know, they weren't hanging out. Mm-hmm. But it is weird. You know, this event probably had more cell phone cameras on it than any other, you know, event like it. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's at the finish line. This is something they're videotaping. There's more people coming to the finish line. There's the pictures of him right there.
Yeah, it looks like Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say to that? And he's just kind of walking along and not too concerned with what's going on. And, you know, just another in a series of questions.
Well, and this coach says he's been to a lot of races like this. He's run a lot of these races, but he's never seen anything like this before. It made him think that something like a bomb detonation had happened.
Yeah.
So for us, that was a real red flag, okay? And anybody that has looked carefully at the history of terrorism in this country and in other countries knows that one of the hallmark things that happens is that there's usually a drill mm-hmm. going on at the same time, at the same place, the same method, and, you know, the exact same thing that happened in 9/11, happened in 7/7, happened in Oslo, Norway's happened so many times. But when we saw that, and we knew that unlike the right wing that Peter Bergen and CNN are blaming for terrorism, we know that the government really has motivation to do this.
Yeah.
They stand to gain by increasing
more
their
power.
Empire, right?
And that's what the callers kept saying. Well, why would the right wing motivate? What would the motivation be to stage something like this?
Right.
Yeah, to get cracked down upon?
Right.
I mean, what is there to prove?
So
history proves those who fire first are the losers.
Mm-hmm.
When you fire last, when you take that first shot, that's when you're going to have the moral authority. You're going to have
and, of course, nobody has taken credit for this either, which is also highly unusual, right? And there's even a comment in one of these other articles where I think it's Chris Matthews says, you know, those right-wing guys, they never even take credit for all the terrorism that they do out there. And it's like, well, maybe it's because it's being blamed on them, and they're not doing it, right? But
Or if someone brought into the right-wing movement, like Timothy McVeigh, who's got Army intelligence written all over him, and he does these things. He you know, inserts himself into a patriot group to kind of be in there, go to these meetings. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm one of you guys. And all of a sudden he does something. Well, now we've got our guy. We've got the guy who did it.
So for the longest time, we've been seeing the government building up to expand its reach into the police state. And we've been reporting on that with the ammunition buys and that sort of thing. And mainstream media and people like Glenn Beck have been criticizing and pushing back on us for that. And so when we see that and we see a bombing go off, we know that that's the way the government has traditionally expanded the police state. Mm-hmm. And then when we see this drill, it's like, that's it. You know, we're calling BS on it.
Like it was Salon yesterday. They said, well, Alex Jones is going to spin this to say that we need more TSA or, you know, the argument that's going to be. And then that's exactly what the people are talking about.
Yeah.
If we had more cameras, if we had more people filling you up on the streets, these things wouldn't happen.
Right.
That's right.
And notice, and later we're going to show a clip of this, the governor basically declared a state of emergency police state in Boston, where they have cops everywhere. They're checking bags randomly. They're doing it in New York now. Mm-hmm. So they're using this as an excuse to just go in and just start violating people's mm-hmm. civil
everywhere.
Rights.
Everywhere. Yeah. Not just in Boston, right. Where there's a, you could say, kind of an active crime scene, you know, in the immediate aftermath of it. But they're doing it across the country. USA Today was filled mm-hmm. with pictures all across the country.
Oh, yeah. People getting their bags
Military people coming up, give me your ID, you know, take out your wallet, let me look at your wallet, that type of thing.
And that's just to train and condition people.
So... The Blaze and Salon jump on Alex Jones right away.
Yep.
And listen to what The Blaze says. It says that talks about Alex Jones and says, well, he doesn't have any legitimate evidence to back up his claim. However, he points out that the Boston Bomb Squad was also conducting a bomb drill on Monday. Yeah. It should be noted that it certainly wouldn't be strange for the Boston Bomb Squad to be training with bombs on any given day. They are the Bomb Squad. That's their analysis.
Yeah, you know, that's
there you
how
go.
It works.
In-depth analysis and their...
you know, we're going to have a bomb drill and right along near where the running route is for the Boston Marathon. That's normal on the same day. You know, that's how we do things.
That's right.
You know, if it's an IndyCar race going through the streets of Milan or something, we're going to place fake bombs everywhere and blow them up just to do training exercise while this other event's going on. Yeah, does that make sense? That doesn't make sense.
And when they've got all the bomb-sniffing dogs and all the people from the bomb squad going all over the finish line and they don't find anything, and you've got everybody in the world with a camera on the finish line and they mm-hmm. don't... But the answer, of course, is to have more bomb squads,
more
security, and more cameras. Okay.
And then we go on to this Natural News article. Official story unraveling for Boston Marathon bombing. Clear evidence points to bomb squad's prior knowledge.
Absolutely.
There's Mike Adams doing his. We have David Axelrod telling Chris Todd, I'm sure this is going through the president's mind, we really don't know who did this. And then he goes, it was tax day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have a clip of that, but we do have... We don't want to
miss Chris Matthews chiming in on this, okay? At about 10:30 last night, this was reported that on The Blaze that he said, domestic terrorists tend to be on the far right. Well, maybe he's never heard of Bill Ayers.
Exactly.
Obama's mentor, the guy that he loves so deeply. And he says, and he thinks it's very significant that there was a bomb, a fire, something like that at the JFK library. And, you know, which the Democrats like, you know, JFK.
Right.
And not at Bunker Hill or something like that
the
right would like. And then he has, this is the last quote I want from him. He says, let me ask you about domestic terrorism as a category. Normally, domestic terrorists, people tend to be on the far right. Well, that's not a good category. Just extremist. Let's just call them that. Do they advertise after they do something like this? Do they try to get credit as a group, or do they just hate America so much, or its politics, or its government, that they just want to do damage, and they don't care if they get credit at all?
Very odd. What kind of movement is going to do something like this and then not want to take credit for
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. You know, whether you're talking about something like the IRA or you're talking about Al-Qaeda or whatever, when they do something like that, to them, it's like, I have power.
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah. Look what I was able to do to you. I was able to get in your face and give you a bloody eye, right? Mm-hmm. They don't look at it. I mean, if they got the mindset that they're going to do this to somebody and they don't see it as a cowardly act as we would, okay, they think it's, I pulled this off, and they want to brag about it. And even when you have individual murders, like Alex was talking about, they love to send taunting clues mm-hmm. to a serial killer, loves to send taunting clues to the detectives.
Right.
Right? But, you know, as Chris Matthews says, these right-wing terrorists are always doing all this stuff, and they never even take credit for it, you know.
Very odd. I think we have another clip from the BBC. Even they chimed in on it with their own mentioning of right-wing terror, just kind of throwing it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny how all these media organizations, these national media organizations, that's Al-Qaeda, right-wing. Al-Qaeda, right-wing. It's mm-hmm. it's to bring that together so people, when they hear Al-Qaeda, they think right-wing, or when they think right-wing, they mm-hmm. or hear right-wing, they think Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Let's go to that BBC clip.
And the other thing I think I'd say is that if this does turn out to be terrorism, don't immediately jump to conclusions about who's responsible. It's more than rumour, it's chatter from within the intelligence services that suggests that it might not be what one's mind perhaps leaps to of Islamic radicals, but that it could be homegrown extremists who of course have attacked it in the past within America.
Indeed, one recalls the Oklahoma bomb, of course, which was attributed initially to...
Of course, it must be right-wing extremists. This is the only thing it could point to.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that with Operation Gladio in Europe, all the way through Italy, when they were attacking, mm-hmm. that was right-wing terrorists, okay, from NATO And right. they were trying to make the communists look bad.
Yeah.
You know, they were going after the assassinated Prime Minister Aldo and had this massive wave of bombings there. And as the Italians investigated, they found out that it was actually these NATO right-wing terrorists. But mm-hmm. so it's very
common. That was government sponsored.
Yeah, but it's a false flag. You know,
yeah.
they do it and then blame it on the other group, you know, which is what we are believing is happening here, but just the other way around.
Yeah, it's very, very fishy. We have another eyewitness, authorities must have known about bombing. That's an InfoWars article. Also, there was reports of that day of the runners when they were picking up their race packets of a lady saying that you guys are going to die by participating.
Yeah, I remember that.
The Squamish man, I think, was the headline. The Squamish guy from...
Yeah, we had
a
chance to cover that yesterday on
right,
the Alex Jones
right.
radio show. And it's just like you said, somebody got... a tip saying, hey, if you guys participate, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And then you have these bomb-sniffing dogs and other drills going on.
And it was the first time that they put out this new safety pad that was going to help them do triage and reporting when there was a massive civilian casualties and event. First time that ever been used. That was rolled out for the...
And you had a caller on today that said the head of Homeland Security happened to be there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the head of FEMA, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was the head of
Homeland
FEMA.
Security. Yeah, yeah.
Somebody
else from Homeland Security.
It was the head of FEMA mm-hmm. happened to be there. And
yeah.
Hey, what are the odds? I mean, it's just all these amazing coincidences.
Several high-up mm-hmm. officials. That's right.
Let's move on. We got the Family Guy clip that was actually pulled off of YouTube at this point. I don't know where you'll be able to find it. Maybe embedded in one of our broadcasts.
Well, you know, I was searching that this morning, and mm-hmm. several people have posted Watson's article on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you can go and search for it. I'm sure the title's been changed, but you can probably find that same article on YouTube.
Okay. Well, and basically what this is, it's an episode where he's talking to Bob Costas. About how he won the Boston Marathon, and then he cuts to him blowing up bombs with cell phones, which is what they think how these bombs were detonated, with cell phones, most mm-hmm. likely. Mm-hmm. So let's go to that clip.
I'm Bob Costas, here with Boston Marathon winner Peter Griffin. Peter, how did you do it?
Damn, phone's busted. Maybe I dialed wrong.
Yeah.
And I would like to point something out. I talked about this on Alex Jones' radio show today. Many people were complaining that saying that those clips were spliced together. Now, there has been a re-edit of that show. The clip you just saw was the original edit mm-hmm. where those two scenes were back-to-back. And I guess in a edit after that, they chopped those two clips in half and put them at the beginning of it. In the end of the show.
Oh.
So a lot of people were attacking Watson saying he spliced those together. No, they were spliced apart after that episode originally aired.
And that aired, what, in March?
Yeah, it aired a little while ago.
And he kind of addressed that in his video. And his video was over 4 minutes long and had like that 14-second clip in it.
Right.
And YouTube pulled it down.
Immediately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the whole thing, the whole episode is gone from Hulu. So you can't see it on Hulu and other places. Yeah.
But you can still find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's how they bury it. Let's move on.
One other thing, too.
All right.
That episode was called Turban Cowboy, and it was also an effort that we see over and over and over again.
Al-Qaeda.
To link the Tea Party with Islamicists, terrorists.
Because Peter Griffin's a Tea Party guy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amongst other things. Senator Defense Hagel looks to Pentagon for law enforcement. So now we're going to have the Pentagon out there running... beefing up the law enforcement, that means troops on the street, that means TSA in your pants everywhere you go. You want to go to the mall, we got to fill you up.
That's right.
You get a taco, we're going to fill you up.
And that's the aftermath. That's what everybody's saying. America will never be the same again. This is going to be like September 11th, and, we're going to lose our freedoms, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, this is all for security.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to, we got a Fox article, Boston attack underscores growing threat of IEDs.
And this is the new thing, because we all know about IEDs. Those were the things used overseas primarily. They have the improvised explosive devices that are pretty large in other countries. I'll read you this section here. The reason to use an IED or multiple IEDs is that you're trying to create an oversized impact and as much panic and disruption as possible. IEDs are usually makeshift bombs that are extremely destructive when detonated, and they are designed to propel shrapnel and are sometimes used in combination with toxic chemicals. So they're saying, the things that, the Afghanis use, the Iraqis use against us overseas are now coming home.
Right.
So that's the new threat.
And that's probably coming from veterans who are coming home. We've seen this, who are mad about the government or,
mm-hmm.
Any way they can to demonize that or just even place that out there. to right. just keep that narrative going, that it's possible that this was done by some pissed off right-wing American.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think. And we'll move on to our next article from Fox. This is drastic security changes coming to large-scale public events, experts say. Now, this is similar to what I was alluding to earlier about watching SportsCenter. They said Jenna Napolitano says we need to have more security at the Super Bowl, at the Kentucky Derby, mm-hmm. at the X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, we're going to have more bomb threats and more more mass shootings. Mike DiCapa, director of public safety consultants, said major changes to how law enforcement officials prepare for and respond to emergencies at events with thousands of participants, supporters, or bystanders will absolutely concur following the two bombs near the finish line of Monday's marathon. So there you go. They had.
And it's got to be said that when you go to the Fox website, their news website, these articles are like one after the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
so more it's security, like, more security.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about fear mongering. Mm-hmm. Okay, people accuse us of fear mongering and paranoia or whatever. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this. You know, except that we're talking about, we're saying, hey, there's something here you should worry about. You know, we need to make sure that the government follows the laws, that we respect individual liberty and individual rights and everything. They're saying, mm-hmm. hey, be afraid and throw everything.
Have
yeah,
and they have, no personal responsibility.
Yeah,
right?
This is the exact narrative that we warned of yesterday that Salon criticized us for, because we said, get ready, they're going to say we need more security, we need more cameras, and sure enough, more security, more cameras just a day later.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So,
and of course, there's going to be plenty of money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always money for more cameras. There's always money for robots. There's always money for TSA.
Or mm-hmm. even bagpipes. If you're Janet Napolitano, you can put out a
$1,000 uniform.
Yeah, you can have bagpipes, $1,000 uniforms. You can send your kids on a $2 million vacation to Mexico. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We can't have any tours of the White House, but, you know, the kids still get to go on spring break. And we'll go to our next article. It can happen anywhere. Now, yeah, this is pretty much the gist of this article. I'm just going to read a short
bomb drills
piece.
Will happen at any time, any place.
We do know the FBI said the explosions were well planned. We know that the Boston Marathon is seen around the world, and we know that three people are dead, including an 8-year-old boy, and more than 100 injured, and countless lives have been scarred. So if September 11, 2001 was the day our innocence was taken, then April 15, 2013 is a reminder that it is never coming back. So they're pretty much saying
never
we got raped is what, you know, this article is
never
saying.
Coming back.
Say goodbye to your freedoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe I have just a couple more here. Mm-hmm. Now, this is switching ground a little bit. This is talking about gun bill supporters struggling to round up Senate votes. Now, the amendment in question was offered by Pennsylvania Republican Senator Pat Toomey and West Virginia Democrat Senator Joe Manchin. It would expand background checks to gun shows and internet sales while exempting some personal transactions. So they're saying, well, you can still sell your gun to Bob down the street, but we don't want you to buy ammo on the internet. And that's the thing, I just can't understand. You can go to the liquor store, you can go buy as much liquor as you want, you can go to Home Depot, buy as much explosive, you know, materials as you want. But if you want to go buy, you know, 100 rounds, 200 rounds of
which you can shoot off in a weekend.
I mean, you can shoot that easily at the range and within
minutes.
An hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Within an hour, you know, because that's going to be the new thing, because just like we did that bullet report, I want 100 rounds. Well, you can only have 100 rounds. So next week, if I go buy 200, like, why do you need 200 rounds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just bought 100.
Yeah.
Why are you keeping track of me?
Yeah.
Why do you care? Am I an adult?
I'm paying. I'm not stealing it.
Yeah.
But that's the new thing. They're saying that we'll give you just this little thing. You can have your little private transaction, but we're going to be on you at the gun shows. Yeah. We're going to monitor your internet activity.
And the gist of this article, again, the headline that's not here, but on their main website is gun control holstered. Okay? Don't believe it for a minute.
Yeah, right.
Okay? This is, they're playing possum. They want you to get distracted with this bombing. They want you to think that it's all right, we've won now. Don't believe it for a minute, because if anything, this bombing has made the people on the left even more fearful, even more irrational than they were before.
And more emboldened to come after more rights.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like, how could you support that? I mean, look at the carnage on our streets everywhere. I mean,
But they don't want to talk about the facts that, you know, these acts are continuing in cities like Chicago because they won't address the gang problem. They won't address the drug problem.
Yeah.
They just want to talk about the instruments that they're committing their acts with. You know, these guys start hitting each other with hammers, and we try to ban hammers.
Maybe what we should do is pass bomb control laws.
Yeah, no more bombs. No more bombs.
I heard a joke the other day.
It's time. I heard a joke the other day
that if America wants to end the nuclear threat, we just need to declare ourselves a nuke-free zone.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're nuclear North Korea. We are nuclear-free.
That's right.
Stay away.
Just leave us alone. We are undefended. Now, this is my last article for this section. Now, this talks about printable guns. And we've had these guys on our show many times. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing talking about things that people are scared of. They're very afraid of these printable guns. They don't want you to be able to print something in your home, even though the military is looking into the same technology. And that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But if you want to make a magazine at your house, they have a problem with that. And we'll look at this. Lawmaker seeks to extend 3D printed gun ban bill to ammo magazines and other components. Other components being such as maybe you can't print the entire gun, but a lower receiver for an AR-15, which you can see right there in that picture. Since late last year, he's pushed for a renewal. This is New York Congressman Steve Israel of the soon-to-expire Undetectable Firearms Act as a measure to prevent a future where plastic guns are created as easily as ink is printed on a page. So they're very afraid that you can make a magazine for yourself. You could potentially make whatever you want. The technology is advancing rapidly.
Yeah.
Very rapidly. They're to the point where they think by the end of the year they might be able to make an entire gun mm-hmm. printed.
And to be clear.
Shoot any bullets out of it, too.
Yeah.
Not just one or two.
And to be clear, this undetectable gun.
Yes, act, Undetectable Firearms Act.
Yeah, that is something that's coming up for renewal. They've had that before where they outlawed fully plastic guns that didn't have any metal components. But what they're doing now is they're going to extend this to anything that is any components that mm-hmm. are plastic, okay? And it's broader than the 3D printing of the components because what it will do is it doesn't just outlaw it if you 3D print it. If you injection mold that plastic
that's
component,
what I was thinking.
It's still going to be out, right? Yeah. And as somebody pointed out in the article, even the magazine Cody created has a metal spring in it, so right. it'd still be detectable. It isn't like even the magazine itself is undetectable.
Well, and if anyone's going to do this on a mass scale anyway, they're going to make a mold mm-hmm. out of the printable material, and then they're going to inject a mold after that fact. That's why that's put in there to catch that. Because if you're going to mass produce, that's the way to do it. It's not with a printable.
And it should be pointed out also that this Steve Israel guy, I mean, he's very high up in the Democrat hierarchy. He's a Long Island Democrat. And he's also the one who came out with this no-fly, no-buy thing, where if you're put on the no-fly list, and we've seen how many people get put on that.
And they don't know how they
reason,
got on it.
Yeah, without any reason, no explanation, whatever. If you're put on that list, you would not be allowed to buy firearms.
Yeah,
you have no reason for being on it. You don't know why that you're on it. You don't know how you get off of it. Like I said, we've seen children being placed on this,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if they ever got off of it.
Oh, they never do.
No, you never get off.
You never know. You don't know how to get on. You don't know how to get off. It's stonewalled when you get up to that.
It's like a star chamber. Mm-hmm. They put you on this list in secret. They never tell you what you're accused of. You never get your day in court to defend yourself. And you're never even told what their final verdict is.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. We talked to that guy that got stuck in Hawaii mid-journey, you know, Wade mm-hmm. Hicks, you know. And it's absolutely insane. There's no sense of due process.
They said it had nothing
to
do with his political views whatsoever.
Right.
He just happened to be an InfoWars listener.
That's right.
Yeah. Just like those parents who took their children to Cuba, you know.
Right.
Yeah, this happened to be InfoWars.
Yeah.
Listeners,
yeah.
So, you know, must be some dirty.
There's got to be something wrong with them. Got to be something wrong with them. Hey, before we go to the next section, which is kind of uncovering our media bomber, Dan Bedondi, I want to play a clip of Barack Obama at a press conference this morning where he talks about what terrorism is. And I think he's talking about himself here. Do we have that clip? Let's go to it right now.
This was a heinous and cowardly act. And given what we now know about what took place, the FBI is investigating it as an act of terrorism. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror.
Wow, did you hear him kind of stumble when he said innocent civilians?
Yeah.
I mean, the blood is all over his hands. He knows it.
That's right.
I mean, he just the gall for him to get up there and talk about innocent civilians like he cares about innocent civilians.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about them.
Doesn't care about Fast and Furious, doesn't care about Benghazi.
No. How many kids are they bombing in Pakistan and Afghanistan? There's some just came out, they hit another wedding party.
Yeah.
What, were these innocent civilians?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we thought they may have been Al-Qaeda, so we bombed them.
Yeah,
you know, that's
right.
Always
they hit
the
one
excuse.
Guy. Yeah. One or two guys. It's always one or two guys.
Right. And they do double tap.
Yeah.
So they hit the area. They wait for responders to come in to try to help people who've been hit.
And then they pop
which
them,
is everybody's natural instincts, and then they hit those people.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what they did, the video Bradley Manning released,
with
the guys that were getting machine gunned from that helicopter.
Yeah.
You know, horrible stuff.
And they were several of the guys that were there were journalists.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they said they had rocket launches because they are carrying cameras.
Carrying a big camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not supposed to care about that. We're not supposed to, you know, we can only care about the citizens on our soil that get killed in these attacks. But anywhere else in the world, it's okay, and that's open game. And
it's not even just the citizens on our soil, because I don't want you to care about Brian Terry and the other people that have been killed in Fast and Furious.
Exactly. And you have to ask yourself, like you just said, are they really going to care when they come and they start doing this in America?
Right? Yeah.
Are they going to be able to distance themselves because they're doing this from a small bunker that's very far away, you know?
Right. It's finally here, the first drone strike on American soil. You know, and it's going to be a bank robber or somebody really bad that's dangerous.
There's the rumor they're going to use it for Chris Dorner.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet there have been people that jumped up and clapped. And, yeah, we knocked down that cabin, but we knocked down the whole forest, too.
Right.
But we got that one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's a cop killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. And we'll never know the truth on that because they got their man
at
that point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're going to go to, in case you missed it, we played it several times on InfoWars. And it's Dan Badani kind of bulldozed his way into two press conferences. There was one in the early afternoon and one in the evening. The police commissioner was there, the FBI special investigator, the governor, the mayor. I even saw Elizabeth Warren in the audience of the second press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a guy who gets up and just starts asking questions about, you know, stuff that's been reported in the news, and he wants explanations for it.
Right.
And he's kind of shunned. He's kind of just
People trying to talk over him on the mics.
Oh, yeah, big time. And so we played this stuff yesterday that we pulled off of live TV. Dan actually sent us the actual footage, and we'll get to that in a second, the actual footage from his camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I also included some other clips in there in addition to him trying to get his questions in. But he created a big media presence by doing that, him and Alex. But, I mean, the combined force was just amazing. So we're going to start with a Huffington Post article. False flag, or hashtag false flag, Boston Marathon bombing brings out conspiracy theories. And, you know, they talk about how, you know, they mentioned Dan Badani, Alex Jones, and how the governor just said no, next question. Next one, this is getting into a little bit of name calling, Business Insider. Obnoxious troll asked Massachusetts governor if Marathon attack was a false flag. During a press conference intended to provide updates regarding the investigation into the bombing of the Boston Marathon, one individual present asked Massachusetts governor if the bombing was a false flag attack. False flag is a war term referring to a perpetrating an attack under the guise of the enemy for the purposes of making them look bad. And then Senator Elizabeth Warren and Deval Patrick were both in attendance. I kind of like the Atlantic Wire's article, which is next. What is a false flag attack and what does Boston have to do with this? So then they go into, like, what a false flag attack is, talking about it, you know, the historical precedent for such a move by the government, who's calling Boston bombings a false flag operation. To me, it's a pretty well-written article, considering, you know, they're framing it a little bit in an attack form. And they go into the things that we're talking about with the loudspeakers, about everybody remaining calm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remain calm. We come in peace. We come in peace.
Yeah.
Next one. This is from, where is this one from? This one might be Media Matters. This is the Slate. Okay. Why the conspiracy theorists will have a tough time with Boston. That was Slate right there. And they talk about it more. Too many cameras, too many witnesses. Bad information dies quicker these days. They talk about why our theories have no, merit whatsoever. But each one of these, they mention Alex Jones, Dan Badani, InfoWars.com. So at least they spelled the names right.
Well, and actually what they just said there is not true, because it's we're going in and we're getting people like this University of Mobile coach talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was just discounted offhand by USA Today saying,
right.
Oh, no, there's nobody is saying that in the media. or in law enforcement.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but the people who are there are saying that. Which is, but of course they just throw that out because it's not
people.
Being done
they're
by the media
officials.
Or the government.
That's so right. They really
don't have a plastic bag on their badge on their chest.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or they don't wear a clown uniform.
We need official stories.
Exactly. It's only what the officials say. That's mm-hmm. how we have to trust. And now they've come out and said there was no extra bombs. The JFK fire had nothing to do with this. You know, don't pay attention to that guy walking up on the roof.
Move along. There's nothing to see.
Yeah. Moving on. Bombing truther crashes Boston press conference.
He's already labeled a bombing truther.
Yeah.
Bombing truther.
And they're calling leading the truthers charge, unsurprisingly, is mega troll Alex Jones. Remember him? Who claimed on his radio show Monday that the attacks must have been a false flag. And they say even Glenn Beck's The Blaze can't distance itself far enough from this position. Good. You know what? When it comes out that it was a drill, which they'll announce a few months later, mm-hmm. they'll announce that, and then it won't be like, hey, InfoWars was right. It'll just be like, here's the next thing we're going to show you.
Oh, yeah.
And now here's the media matters. Alex Jones and Boston Blast, U.S. government is prime suspect. And there they show this, you know, animated picture of Alex, not even from that day that was going on. They show his tweets. Here's the rest of the article. His theorizing culminated in InfoWars correspondent Dan Bonanni questioning Governor Patrick about the conspiracy directly. But what is this showing? This is showing one guy with a camera
mm-hmm.
can get up there and make all these newspapers and all these reporters actually sit and write about it to try and discount it.
Exactly.
Because if they left it sitting out there, then, you know, now it's suddenly validated that we're asking questions. Why aren't they, now they're totally ignoring us, but here they're ridiculing us. They're not just ignoring us now. Now they're laughing at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Stuart Rhodes said today when we were doing Overdrive on the Alex Jones radio show. I mean, it's great that Dan went out there, but there's strength in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if we had 4 or 5, 10 people like Dan Bondi.
Yeah, yelling at these guys, answer the question.
Yeah, and they're like, no, cut his mic, and then cut this guy's mic, and cut that guy's mic. Like, they're going to have to answer something at some point.
Exactly.
It reminds me of the Piers Morgan thing with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to, they're laughing at him, they're calling him a troll, all this, you know, but, and people are going to stop and say, but wait a minute, what is a false flag? I've
right.
heard of that before.
Yeah.
And start looking at it and go, there was a drill there. Oh, yeah, there was a drill at this other place. There was a drill at this other place. And the other one, and the other one. You know, they're going to start looking at it.
These guys all have, connections to MI6 or CIA or FBI. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, like all these fake bombings that didn't take place, you know, where the FBI thwarts it, they were all being helped out by FBI informants.
Right.
They were getting, the FBI informant was getting them the bomb. Came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were
reported
just
by the New York Times.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we don't know
they're
what we're talking about.
Of course, right?
Here's another one. Boston Marathon bombing conspiracy theories. Fast facts you need to know. So they throw it in there. It's Patriots Day and Tax Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Mysterious Facebook page, which I don't even think we went into the Facebook thing because you can change those Facebook things. Isn't it funny how email has got date stamps but nothing else ever made since then can have a proper date, time and date stamp on it? Like Twitter can't, Facebook can't, nobody can have these proper time and date stamps but email. That was the only, and that was invented, what, 98 or 95, even before that. Here's the man on the roof, they talk about it. What are the other two? They have a couple others in here. The false flag angle. So, you know, there, and then finally, one of my favorite places to get news, Mail Online. conspiracy theorists claim Boston was a false flag attack arranged by the government. They go into a pretty lengthy article. They even actually show a picture of Dan Bondi and right next to him, Alex Jones.
Yeah, I love how they got that old dated picture of Bondi.
There it is.
And why are you standing in front of a green screen?
And every one of the tweets, I love it. They cover the tweets that Alex put out. You know, they're mentioning false flag attack. Every single one of these mentions those aspects in there. You know, even if they are making fun of us, they're putting it out there. It's going to make their readers go, wait, what is, you know, like you said, what is a false flag attack? Mm-hmm. And then that's going to lead them down the rabbit hole.
Which
and
is what they're
going to end up watching Terror Storm. And three hours later, they're going to be, whoa.
They'll get that 15-day trial to Prison Planet and blow their mind.
Exactly. In fact, if you're out there watching, I'll go to this camera here. If you're out there watching right now, go and you're watching this on YouTube, go to Prison Planet TV. You can get a 15-day free trial. You can watch Terror Storm for free. It is 3 hours of probably the most expansive encyclopedia on false flag terror that's probably ever been done in video. I mean, it takes you basically everything that we've been involved with, You don't really know your true history unless you go check it out.
And also, you guys can go to YouTube. We have all of the videos that we produce ourselves on YouTube. Not only our channel, I believe, Change the Channel. He has very expansive, high-definition quality videos on his channel, so definitely check that out as well.
Right. Those are all good. Now, let's go. Actually, we have video that Dan Benanti shot from those press conferences. Mm-hmm. You can hear the audio great. You can hear him kind of arguing with reporters. You know, the reporter's saying something, and Benanti says, "You mean false flag?" You know, trying to say, like, this is what the issue should be. Is this a false flag? And, you know, why were loudspeakers out there telling people to be calm?
Yeah, just stand right there, and the bomb's going to blow up in 10 seconds.
Exactly.
So this is a premiere of this footage, right?
I don't think anybody's seen this footage. Yeah. He put it on his YouTube channel on private this morning. I pulled it off, cut up a little bit. It's not the full press conference, but here it is.
Right.
Is there any security footage of any of these explosions?
We are looking at all of that right now. That's one of the investigative steps that we have taken.
Was there any prior knowledge, Joe? Because according to BostonGlobe.com, they said they were doing drills this morning for the same exact thing that happened, according to BostonGlobe.com. Now, were you guys given any warning ahead of time of this taking place?
As I said earlier, there was no specific intelligence. We certainly increased posture around a big event like this. All of those things happened in preparation for this event, but there was no specific intelligence that anything was going to happen.
And can you talk a little bit about what type of device do you have?
The city of Boston is open and will be open tomorrow, but it will not be business as usual. It will be a heightened law enforcement presence consistent with the severity and seriousness of the ongoing investigation. People should expect those who are riding the T, that there will be random checks of backpacks and other parcels. And we just ask everyone to be patient with that inconvenience for the time being. It is for the public's safety. Here in the state, at the local level, and at the federal level, we are all coming together to do everything we can to get to the bottom of this.
The most important fact that I want to convey to everybody this evening has already been mentioned by Governor Patrick. The FBI is taking the lead in this investigation. It is asserting federal jurisdiction. It will do so through the Boston Joint Terrorism Task Force, members of which are comprised by all the members of the law enforcement agencies here represented at the podium. This will be a combined federal, state, and local effort. It will be an ongoing investigation. It is a criminal investigation that is a potential terrorist investigation.
Do you take any questions?
Oh, sir, why were loudspeakers telling people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security while sticking our hands down on the pants on the streets?
No. Next question.
You have said that there's no suspect, but is there...
I'm not going to confirm that right now. We'll have that information for you first thing in the morning. The medical people are compiling that as we speak.
Again, why were speakers telling people to be...
Characterizing the effect of terrorism?
Extent of the injuries, how serious people are.
This is a very powerful point. Right now, that area that the governor outlined is our main point of focus right now.
Again, why were people telling speakers telling people to be calm before the bomb went off? I want to answer that question.
Currently in your search for additional devices, are you searching the entire route of the marathon, or are you just focused on certain areas right now? Are there specific areas that you're focused on beyond the Copley area?
At this point in time, our focus of the investigation is in the areas of the governor.
Why was people being told prior to the bomb going off?
People, if so, how would you... We're actually working very closely with the family right now. We're setting up a location near here that families can come to if they have any questions. The mayor's office has fielded many calls of concern. We're going through those right now.
Okay, can you guys identify your question?
Why was people being told prior...
9:30 tomorrow morning.
Why was people being told prior to the bombs going off to stay calm? Yeah. That's a false flag, gentlemen. Just to put more TSA on the street to rob our civil liberties.
Yet these men and their hypnotized followers call this a new order.
I love the guy. I think he was in the far corner in the blue shirt, yeah. And he's like, yeah, cut his mic.
And then you see the lady over there come up and say, come on, we're getting out of here. We're cutting the press conference. You know, she comes from off stage and says something. The general kind of looks over. There she is right there on the left. She's like, come on, we got to get out of here. We got somebody who can see.
Yeah.
You know, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, that guy in the blue shirt you can see right there, he's like, cut his mic. And we were playing a game of who's the Fed.
And I correctly guessed, but I'd already seen this footage. But when I was watching the footage earlier, I was like, that guy looks like a agent. He looks like a Fed right there, the guy in the red tie.
He's got cropped hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the only thing, a dead giveaway would have been if he was bald, because the feds nowadays,
the clip earlier, the first clip with the governor, and he was just giving Vidani just the stink. Yeah. He'll look over here in a second.
There it is.
He's doing the people's eyebrow there,
That's almost the same look that the head of the IRS gave Aaron Dykes when he was asked a question. We were in front of where Joe Stack crashed his plane into the IRS building, and he tried to get the question in about the $20 trillion in derivatives to Tim Geithner, and Tim Geithner went, shh. They did this kind of piss at him. And then the head of the IRS looked over and was like, and you just see this, whoa, total hatred. And it's totally reminiscent of They Live. I've got one that can see. All right, we're going to go to an older article, because a lot of these pundits were out there.
This reminds us of the first World Trade Center bombing, Oklahoma City.
That's a nice NPR voice there.
Always telling us about the World Trade Center, first World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, it reminds us of that as well.
It totally reminds me of that as well.
For different reasons.
So here we have an article from Tony Cartolucci, February 17, 2012. Washington, D.C., FBI foils its own terror plot again. Now, this is talking about these, you know, patsies that keep getting foiled by their own their own handlers. But he goes back. In 1993, the FBI was carrying out a sting operation in New York City. The target was the World Trade Center. The weapon of choice was a bomb-laden van. Helping the FBI was an Egyptian informant, Imad Salam, who over the course of the investigation grew suspicious of federal agents and began recording his phone conversations with him. From these recordings released by who? The New York Times,
of all people.
It turns out that the FBI switched out the inert device for real explosives at the last moment, resulting in an attack that killed six and injured over 1,000. Did anybody from the FBI ever go to jail for that? Despite this evidence, the 1993 bombing is still to this day attributed to a terrorist, with the FBI's involvement muted, if ever mentioned. And now we're going to go to a video. It's on YouTube now, and I think this was taken off of VHS because we didn't have DVRs back in the day. And so
the kids are like, "What's a VHS?"
Exactly. Hey, kids! Before back in the day, we used to have this thing called videotape, and I have boxes of it. I know it existed at one point, and I know we used to use them. So let's go to that clip now. This is Dan Rather reporting on the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Last winter, the FBI was praised for its speed in cracking the case of the World Trade Center bombing and bringing four suspects to trial. Now, there is some evidence that the FBI may have known of the plot in advance through an informant and might even have stopped the bombing that killed six people. Correspondent Jacqueline Adams has the story.
FBI agents might have been able to prevent last February's deadly explosion at New York's World Trade Center. They discussed secretly substituting harmless powder for the explosives, but they didn't, according to the FBI's own informant, Imad Salem. Unbeknownst to the FBI at the time, Salem recorded many of his conversations with his handlers.
I'm holding 903 pages of draft transcripts.
William Kunstler represents Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and several others charged with conspiring to blow up a series of New York City landmarks 4 months after the World Trade Center bombing. That case has not yet gone to trial. Kunstler confirmed newspaper reports of the Salem transcripts. In one, Salem complains to an FBI agent, "Since the bomb went off, I feel terrible. I feel bad. I feel here is people who don't listen." The agent replies, "Hey, I mean, it wasn't like you didn't try and I didn't try. You can't force people to do the right thing."
There is material in here to show gross governmental misconduct.
Today, attorneys for the defendants in the ongoing World Trade Center bombing case formally asked for the transcripts of Salem's tapes.
Quite frankly, beyond me, why now, the fourth week into the trial, we still don't have these materials.
Yeah, those materials will probably never really see the light of day in terms of what, you know, there's transcripts of them, you know, and it shows, of course, without a doubt, FBI was involved.
We would be crazy to say that the government created something like
that. Would ever do anything like that.
Right. And yet, you know, the death toll was twice. The number of injuries was 10 times the number of people injured here. And yet, and the FBI orchestrated But, you know, we shouldn't.
Yet they're not the prime suspect. They're in charge of the investigation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? No doubt the FBI will find out who did this. It'll be some patsy or something. They're going to find somebody and blame it on them.
And just for the patsies, future patsies out there, they tell you to make your own bomb or you load your gun with real bullets instead of rubber bullets or blanks.
Yeah.
You're going to get set up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who gets into bed with these guys, even if you know, what they do usually is they bring in somebody for a petty crime. Hey, we need you to do this. It's like when they get a low-level drug dealer. Hey, you just give us the big fish. We'll let you go.
That's what they do with Randy Weaver. They even set him up.
Yeah.
Purposely set him up and then try to turn him into an infiltrator. And he's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. That this is what they do over and over again. And
it's their M.O.
Their M.O.
The usual suspects.
There you go.
We know they have a motive.
All right, now I want to go to a few stories that we didn't cover yesterday. We're going to cover these, and then when the bombing happened, we kind of threw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. The first one from Paul Joseph Watson, Big Sis coordinating gun confiscations. And a New York State talk radio host discussed on his program that several sources inside New York State government told him that the Department of Homeland Security played an active role in meeting and collaborating with New York State officials to develop and implement the confiscation scheme that targeted David Lewis and as yet an unknown number of others. Back in March, it also emerged that DHS was working with the Department of Revenue to collect information on gun owners in Missouri.
Right.
I wonder how they're
Social
getting
Security
it through that.
Fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, Social Security fraud. We have to have your gun information.
Well, they turned the list over to them twice.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was they were taking that list and they were checking it against people who had psychiatric care.
Exactly. And it goes on with that. Under the New York SAFE Act, anyone considered having a mental condition, not proven, just considered as having a mental condition can have their firearms seized by police and their Second Amendment rights suspended. The law encourages therapists, doctors, nurses, social workers to report patients they determine may engage in conduct that may result in harm to self or others. So you don't want to get that shot?
Yeah,
may have a problem.
Yeah, they took a 2-hour course and now they can determine if you're a threat to yourself or others.
And this is what's so dishonest about Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo's speech that he made a week ago last Saturday. He's up there saying it, and he gets on the report with us and goes, I only want to make sure that dangerous criminals, convicted criminals, aren't getting their guns. And he belabors that point, goes on for a very long time, and then spins around and says, and people that are judged to be dangerous mentally.
Yeah, everybody claps.
Right. And let's not just forget that we're talking about dangerous felons. We're talking about felons in general, guys who release balloons.
Yeah.
We've shown that article several times. Yeah. The guy releases balloons, and now
dangerous.
He's hit with felonies.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, he's saying, oh, these are dangerous people. They've had due process, so forth and so on. Okay. But that's not the case, because if you are accused of a felony, and we know that the bar of
accused,
what a felony is very
considered.
Low.
Considered.
Right.
And he said, like, I like to have a way to commandeer those firearms, at least temporarily, until we, you know, get to the bottom of the situation.
Right. Which probably costs thousands of dollars.
And
you're
it may
have to
never
pay for
happen.
All these evaluations.
If it's not a pressing issue, like, oh, we got his gun, so we'll put it on the shelf until we get ready.
But he's putting it out there as if he's keeping due process. These people have been gone through and judged to be dangerous people, which, as we say, you know, all felons are not necessarily. They might just be releasing balloons.
Mm-hmm.
But then he spins it and says, oh, okay, but if it's a psychiatric charge, then we're just going to let one medical person determine that. That's not due process. That's not saying that you're going to have a judge, a jury, a defender. You're going to be confronted with the charges. No. One person fingers you, okay, and that's it. And we're seeing people on the right sign on to this as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing people on the right say, yeah, all these people who are doing the shootings, they're crazy. So anybody that's maybe even remotely crazy, we need to take their guns and everybody in their house.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we saw this with the guy whose son said we could go shoot these guys with water guns. They went and took all
his guns. They took his gun. He said, you can have your guns back when your son moves out.
When he moves out, All right, moving on. We have a political article that came out on April 11th, but we hadn't covered it, and I'd read it over the weekend, and I really wanted to cover it. Newtown families, victims turned lobbyists. And we also had the Newtown victims at the race. They had people running. They had people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he writes this is Mike Allen and John Vandehei. The Newtown family's political novices just a few months ago are now proving to be savvy, effective advocates as they promote the gun legislation that has begun to move through the Senate, which is basically confiscate most firearms.
Mm-hmm.
The families are well-educated. Many are well-off. They have been polished and sharp on TV. They also have their own lobbyists, several of them, in fact. They don't try to sound like wonks or pundits or operatives. They just tell their heartbreaking story, weaving in demand for action in a respectful, that is respectful but forceful. And what's they want to get meetings with senators. So, and they won't say, we're not meeting with your aides. We want to meet with the senators. There's nothing subtle about the way some of them conclude their visits, by leaving a color card with a photo of their slain relative. Nicole Hockley, who introduced President Barack Obama in Hartford this week, hands senators a card with three photos of her son Dylan, who was six when he was gunned down, which, I mean, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. But the way they're filming this, one frame shows him grinning, and the card says, honor his life, stand with us for change, and straight out of a speech from Obama, now is the time. Does that sound coordinated?
Maybe we should honor the people who gave their life to support the Constitution and to gain our freedoms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are a lot more people who died for that than children who died at Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, to me, you know, we look at this, they cover this incessantly now for 4 months. It was a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. But they don't cover the abortion doctor in Philadelphia until everybody makes a big stink about it. Now the Washington Post is there and everything.
Finally.
What they replied to that was, they said, that's a local crime story.
Oh, right. Mm.
As if, but Connecticut is not a local crime story. That's a national crime story. Well, a national crime story is whatever the national media wants to
besides,
make a national story out of.
Pushed for that day. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Hey, Marcos, tell me, do we have that clip? It was Jakari, and it's basically all the gun grabbers in their own words talking to
us. It's called Gun Grabbers, too. The most recent one starts with our Austin Police Chief, Art Acevedo.
Yeah, let's go to that clip now. I think that's a good time for it right now. Let's go to that clip.
It's not about keeping guns out of the hands of law-abiding Americans, and I'm sick and tired of people lying to the American people.
Outright ban, picking up every one of them. Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in. I would have done it.
Well, obviously, if you go into a gun store to buy a gun and you don't plan on keeping it, but are getting ready to sell it to somebody who's going to use it, you have to falsify the federal form.
What are you going to do with that AR-15?
Well, the plan is to turn it into the Tucson Police Department. So once I get access, you know, once I actually take possession of it, we'll be handing it in to the Tucson PD.
Certain guns are not for hunting. They're just for killing people, such as assault weapons.
Again. Oh, nice shot.
This bill that I authored grew out of a hearing we were having on violence on the border of Mexico.
When were you first told or became knowledgeable about U.S. officials allowing firearms to be sold to the drug cartels in Mexico?
I don't know.
You hear some of these quotes. I need a gun to protect myself from the government.
A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. George Washington.
If there are any folks who are out there right now who are gun owners, and you've been hearing that somehow if somebody's taken away your guns, get the facts. We're not proposing a gun registration system. We're proposing background checks for criminals.
Congress has repeatedly outlawed gun registration because of the accurate recognition that in other countries and in the United States, in New York City, gun registration has been used as a tool for confiscation.
Sandy Hook Elementary and the awful tragedy.
Well, there's just
there.
Too many guns in the world.
What can we do? Should we write a...
You can... Around this country, you call your congressman and your senator...
In the spirit of gun control, will you disarm your entire security team?
Get right back to you.
You'll get back to me?
I told my wife. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out... Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts.
You get on your balcony with the firearm.
Yeah. So if I do what the vice president advises me to do, I'll go to jail.
What are things that maybe really upset me, and how do I respond to that? Do I grab my gun to go shoot somebody because I'm upset about something?
There appeared to be a brief struggle. Then a 2-year veteran BART officer stands, draws his weapon, and fires.
I recognize it's an uphill battle, but I also know that these events are going to continue.
you teach this man how to use Final Cut Pro. Wow, Jakari, that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You got to put that on YouTube.
Yeah,
and just
we'll
gun grabbers in their own words,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
These people just have no idea. They are so out of touch.
And this was made before the, you know, 100 clip magazine and all those other
right.
juicy tidbits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just make Gun Grabbers part one, part two, part three.
It's going to be a whole series. But they're all supporters of the Second Amendment. They'll tell you.
Oh, right, right. We support the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, we just want background checks for criminals.
And crazy people and anybody we say. Yeah.
My God. All right. Moving on, we got a few more articles, and then we're going to go to our interview with Christina Tobin, and that'll be it for the InfoWars Nightly News. Illegal immigrant DUI killer ruled incompetent because of his unique cultural background. This is really wild that I can't believe that I read this story. This came out April 15th from Donna Anderson. In August 2011, 34-year-old Ecuadorian Nicholas Guaman, who admits he's in the country illegally, decided to get behind the wheel of a borrowed 2004 black Ford pickup and go for a drive. The only problem was that he was drunk at nearly three times the legal limit. Guaman allegedly failed to yield at a stop sign and struck a motorcycle being driven by 23-year-old Matthew J. Denise. Denise was trapped under the wheels and pulled under Guaman's truck, and he continued to drive, attempting to flee the scene and dragging Denise for more than a quarter mile. Guaman finally ran his truck up on the curb and dislodged Denise's body and then backed his truck over him while he was trying to escape.
Man.
At the time of his arrest, he was ordered, he was held on $100,000 cash bail, and on Thursday, April 11th, Judge Janet Kenton Walker appointed by Governor Deval Patrick in 2009.
Oh, the guy.
Ruled that he was incompetent to stand trial because of his unique cultural background and language barrier means he didn't understand the court process. It also means he lacks the ability to consult with his attorney properly.
And I'd also like to point out this guy did have a violent history. You know, he had a history of violence, you know, domestic violence.
And you're telling me there's no one that speaks Spanish in the court system in Boston?
All right. Well, you know, they're trying to pass those laws and saying, I'm not sure how far it got. They only want things to be printed in English, only people to speak in English.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it got up to where this guy was, but, I mean, is that an excuse? Well, we don't have anybody here who speaks Spanish, so...
You know, I went to Switzerland, and they spoke English, but they also speak Swiss German. And I tell you, if I got in a car and ran somebody over, I would still be in prison in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there would be no, you know, but we treat people different here. It's like that song from the Jets. It was the Jets and the Hawks, or what was it called? Sharks and Jets. Everything's free in America. West Side Story.
West Side Story.
I mean, jeez. But, I mean, you know, this is a case that happened in 2011. You know, and here's a guy just driving along his motorcycle, hit by another dude, and his excuse is, well, he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't have to follow the laws.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you know, it has, in North Carolina, the DHS has just told the states mm-hmm. that they need to give special driver's licenses to illegals.
Yeah.
And it says, legal presence, no legal status. Now, what does that mean? I mean, what kind of doublespeak is that?
Yeah.
You know, my sons just got rear-ended by a guy that didn't speak any English.
Yeah.
They were going 30 miles an hour at the time. He rear-ended them. And he couldn't even drive his car. He hit him so hard. But
And he got away. Did he get away with a ticket?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The police didn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're not going to mess with him. He doesn't speak English.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
he's not somebody we can suck money
anything.
Out of.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't test him for alcohol or anything. I mean, what's the matter with this guy? It was broad daylight. And they're going 30 miles an hour to get rear-ended by this guy.
Yeah.
At a very high speed. He was going very fast.
God.
So.
There you go. Moving on to Bohemian Grove. This is courtesy of Guccifer.
Any relation?
No. Hack photos show Colin Powell at Bohemian Grove. For those of you out here who don't know, Marcos gave me the nickname Guccifer.
It's on the latest Ask Alex. I know it's on I think it's on the Planet InfoWars YouTube.
I think we cut that out.
Actually. I think we put it back.
No, I think we put it back, yeah. Anyway, that was my nickname back in the early days when we were just getting things going here, and I was probably a little bit of a bear to work with, I admit. There's people out there that probably still think that.
I can't imagine it being any worse than it is right now.
Yeah, of course. In one shot, Powell is seen sitting opposite of George Shultz, another former Secretary of State. Both are reclining in chairs with the word Mandalay written on the back, confirming that Powell's a member of one of the most exclusive camp factions of the Bohemian Grove. He probably got that when he gave him the old yellow cake. You know, it's like, here's your prize, Mandalay Camp. Mendeley campus populated by many well-known figures in big business, defense, politics, and even some former U.S. presidents. Not Bush. I think they belong to the Bubbas.
And there we see Malcolm McDowell, the guy that I can never get out of my mind from Clockwork Orange. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty well, little droogs.
Uh-huh. He was the cop.
Yeah, he was a really crazy guy with one eye done up with false eyelashes and everything. So there he is singing with Colin Powell. But, you know, the interesting thing is that that other leak that happened also from Guccifer, where it was Andrew Knight, high up in Fox hierarchy, telling Colin Powell that he needed to tell the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, that he needed to get his priorities straight and get there for for Bohemian Grove. You know, yeah, don't miss that mock child sacrifice ceremony.
Nothing going on, if you know what, at the Grove.
There's pictures of Henry Kissinger dressed up like a woman there.
It was only there.
It's there.
Only there?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it's everywhere.
Was he a friend?
Kissinger likes his TSA Phillips.
Jagger Hoover or what?
If the news couldn't get any weirder, but also spot on, analysis finds Monsanto's GM corn nutritionally dead and highly toxic. Eat up, people.
Yeah,
eat up.
Surprise.
Is GMO corn nutritionally equivalent to non-GMO corn? Monsanto will tell you the answer is a big yes. But the real answer is absolutely not. And this is a 2012 report entitled The Nutritional Analysis and Comparison of GMO Corn versus Non-GMO Corn. I'm going to go over these. GMO corn has 6,130 parts per million of calcium, while GMO corn has 14, which is 437 times more calcium. Mm-hmm. GMO corn has 113 parts per million of magnesium, while GMO corn has 2. Mm. Non-GMO corn has 113 parts per million of potassium, while GMO corn has 7 parts per million.
Wow.
Non-GMO corn has 14 parts per million of manganese, while GMO corn has 2. And they also found that GMO corn was found to emit 3,400 times more energy per gram per second than GMO corn. And there's a big chart in there that shows all that. It shows the amount of organic matter, phosphates, but it gets better. Not only is it less nutritious than cardboard, the GMO corn. They also found non-GMO corn is found to be free of chlorides, formaldehyde, glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, and other toxic substances, while GMO corn was riddled with these toxins. And they also found it had highly concentrated levels of toxic formaldehyde at 200 parts per million, and that is set at the maximum safety amount. I'm sure Monsanto had something getting that set to be the maximum safety amount. So,
wow. Hey, they have their own protection.
No, but Monsanto says it's good for you.
No surprise it's loaded with Roundup. I mean, that's the whole point of most of their GMO stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that they can kill it with Roundup, and they spray that Roundup and essentially poison the soil for any real nutritious food. Maybe we should call it Soylent Yellow.
There you go. I mean, totally disgusting stuff. But, hey, you out there, eat your GMO corn if that's what you like. We don't like it here at the InfoWar. We're going to go to break, but I'm going to play a quote of the day here in a second. And but first, if you're watching this on YouTube or any other video service out there, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It's $5.95 a month. We have everything on there, the nightly news, the daily show. The last 2 days, actually, we've been giving the stream away for free. We did 10 hours of live radio yesterday.
That's right, on Infowars.com/listen. You can see the new tab right there.
In fact, people could be tuning in for free right now watching this. We did you guys went till 5 o'clock today. We took a two-hour break, came on, did the nightly news, a little over 2 hours break. Now we're probably an hour and 10 minutes in now. Mm-hmm. We've got another 15-minute interview. And we're doing this all, on the support of our subscribers at PrisonPlanet.tv and the people who buy stuff out of the store. So visit the store if you need some survival supplies, some seeds. We have great T-shirts, books. Educate yourself. Stop watching TV unless it's the nightly news.
Yeah.
But now let's go to our quote of the day. And this is the definition of terrorism from one Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama.
This was a heinous and cowardly act, and given what we now know about what took place, the FBI is investigating it as an act of terrorism. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror. Anytime bombs are used to target innocent civilians, it is an act of terror.
Innocent civilians.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't want to talk about that.
Doesn't want to talk about
innocent
civilians.
With Fast and Furious, with, yeah. I mean, it goes on.
Yeah. Well, guys, this was great. You know, tomorrow, David, are we going to do another update on the Paul Revere contest? Have you even had a chance to look at any new
Yeah, I'm pretty far behind on it, but yeah, we can.
And they've got to be coming in big time.
Oh, yeah.
Now. I mean,
yeah,
it's down to the wire. And in case you don't know what Operation Paul Revere is, it's our contest. Just do a search, Infowars.com/contest,
mm-hmm.
and that will take you to the rule page, everything there, $100,000 first prize. And I think there's still a chance if somebody who really knew what they were doing really wanted to enter this contest, you still have time. You have till April 30th, so you got about 14 days.
Yeah, we had a guy call in on a radio show today, Alex from Chirac. He's become a regular on the show, so I'm definitely eager to see what he has. But my recommendation to everybody, no slideshows.
Those aren't doing very well.
If
it's a slideshow, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've watched some of our videos that we've done just by showcasing some of the great submissions we've gotten, I mean, these people know what they're doing. So, I mean, if you've got game, or maybe you know some people who've got game in the video world, get them together. You know, enter this contest because there could be a whole thing done on this Boston bombing now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean,
a good storyline, and collaborate with somebody who can help you now that it's a short time before the contest ends.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's always a good thing to do anyway, because nobody has a full set of skills. You can always find somebody that can do some part of it
use
better.
Use Craigslist. It's a great way to meet people. Or use Planet InfoWars. It's a great
way
to network. I mean, that's free to join the social network. You can, ask Alex the questions. You've got all the other stuff that goes on Planet InfoWars. I really, I have an ID, but I've never even done anything with it because I'm so busy. I work. It's 8:30, and I haven't gone home yet. I've been here since 10. You know,
that's pretty much what it is in the InfoWars.
It's a lot of work. This stuff does not, as we like to say, it does not, you know, just appear spontaneously.
Yeah.
You know, videos don't just happen. You have to make them and edit them and render them and export them out, and you have to do it on a computer that has memory and all that other stuff. So with that, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back with an interview that I conducted earlier today with Christina Tobin from freeandequal.org. I'm Rob Dew. Got Jakari Jackson, David Knight sitting in with me today, and this has been the InfoWars Nightly News.
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources. With over 30 years of experience in the precious metals business, I can tell you without a doubt, we are facing the most dangerous and volatile times, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Peace of mind is gold and silver. Now is the time to invest in gold. When it comes to bullion coins, our prices are competitive and the closest to melt. If it's numismatics you're looking for, we have some of the best deals out there. Visit MidasResources.com today or go to Infowars.com and click on the link to see our daily specials. Here's an example of one of our long-term specials we've been offering for more than a year. Two silver dollars from the turn of the last century, plus two powerful films, The Obama Deception and The American Dream. We also add in the book Dishonest Money, all for $72 and free shipping. The most trusted name in precious metals is Midas Resources. Call 1-800-686-2237 or go to Infowars.com. I'm Ted Anderson with Midas Resources.
We are now only entering the edge of a global financial superstorm, the likes of which the planet has never seen. Here in the United States, the private Federal Reserve is giving more than $85 billion of taxpayer money a month to themselves and other offshore foreign banks. And the worst part is, we have to pay the bank's interest on the money we give them. There is now a race between the global central bank mafia cartels to see who can devalue their country's currencies the fastest. We are already seeing big increases in inflation at the grocery store and the gas line. This will eventually lead to hyperinflation. More than a dozen top globalists like George Soros have been buying record amounts of gold while at the same time bad-mouthing it to the public. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they do. For more than 6,000 years of recorded human history, gold has been the ultimate hedge against uncertain times and inflation. Before investing in metals, it is important to do your own research and find a reputable company. Midas Resources has the highest Better Business Bureau rating of an A+. Unfortunately, very few precious metal companies can boast that. Midas Resources has assembled one of the most educated, researched, and professional teams of brokers in the industry. The evidence is overwhelming. In uncertain times, gold and silver is safe harbor. Now is the time to invest in gold. Call 800-686-2237 and Midas Resources will mail you 10 reasons to own gold absolutely free. No shipping. It's absolutely free. And finally, Ted Anderson wants to challenge you to find any deal that comes close to his two silver dollars at cost with free shipping, with two free films and a book for $72. That's more than $160 value for $72, shipping included. Click the link at Infowars.com to go to the MidasResources.com specials page. Brought to you by MidasResources.com and Ted Anderson, the trusted name in precious metals.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. I'd like to thank David Knight and Jakari Jackson for sitting in with me on the live portion. This actually here is what you're watching now was taped a few hours earlier. I wanted to take a break from the Boston Marathon bombing and what's going on with that and just talk about some positive stuff. And my next guest is a perfect example of that. Her name is Christina Tobin, and she is founder and chair of freeandequal.org. It's the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. She started this in 2007 after she sold her jewelry business, and the story actually goes back a little farther, and I'm going to let her tell you this, how she got kind of involved in this. When she was 17, she watched her father try to get on a ballot in Illinois, and he was taken off due to the signatures not being valid. So we're going to let her talk to you about that and about some big events she has coming up, trying to bring together people from the left, the right, the center, all together, but basically people who don't want to be considered Republicans or Democrats because we know they are bought and paid for. I turn now to Christina Tobin. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you for such a lovely introduction, Rob.
Great. Well, I just pulled that out of the hat right there. I was reading some stuff about you. Go back to when you were 17 years old and you were watching your father try to get on the ballot. What was he running for? Or it looks like he was running for governor. And tell us about how that process worked and how he was kind of disqualified from the ballot.
At 17 years of age, it was very personal to me. I saw my dad wrongfully knocked off the ballot to take 25,000 signatures to get on the ballot in Illinois for third parties and independents, only 5,000 for D's and R's. So he was wrongfully knocked off the ballot. Dad, Jim Tobin, some viewers may know him. He's been fighting taxes for 35 years, runs one of the largest tax fighting organizations in America, Taxpayers United of America. In any case, a couple years later, he ran for lieutenant governor. I got him on the ballot, which was a big challenge. And then 2004, this candidate by the name of Ralph Nader gave me a call and said, Christina, I need help getting on the ballot. You're the only one that has experience. So I took the job across the political spectrum. I've always been an independent, never voted Democrat, Republican. And a couple years later, I became the national ballot access coordinator for Ralph Nader. Today, I've helped collect on the ground and coordinate over a million signatures to get candidates on the ballot from Libertarians, Greens, Independence Constitution Party, even independent Republicans and Democrats challenging the system. And so that's where I derive from at heart, wanting to open up the electoral system. And finally, in 2008, Free and Equal, we hosted our first presidential debate at the Mayflower. First time any alternative debate had been aired on C-SPAN 2, that is, nationally televised, with Ralph Nader, independent, and Constitution Party Chuck Baldwin. And since then, Free and Equal's taken off since the debate. You may have seen that. Actually, you guys covered it. That was moderated by Larry King and myself. Over 20 million viewers worldwide and top 10 trending on Twitter. And here's Free and Equal today. That's really where we come from.
Yeah, that's exciting to get alternative candidates in the debate, because we've seen that the mainstream Republican Democrats do not want any other voice to come in. They want the tax and war party on the right and the we're still going to tax you and war party on the left. I mean, it's the same creature that we're dealing with. It's like, WWE wrestling, you know, the wrestlers, the good and bad guys are owned by the same system.
I couldn't agree more. What I've learned is that the two-party system, they've been intentionally dividing us for centuries. And so here at Free and Equal, we're here to unite the grassroots movement from Occupy to Tea Parties to student groups like Students for Liberty, Young Americans for Liberty, Libertarians, Greens, Independents, Independent Democrats, Republicans, just we the people, to come together and break the stranglehold of the two-party system and reform the electoral system. We are a solution-based movement, a positive, powerful, peaceful movement that's rising so quickly. And the timing of being on this interview with you right now, Rob, it's just perfect timing, given everything that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's high time that we have something like this. More, just a space for independent groups to come together and find a voice and also find supporters, because it is hard to find a supporter if you're the Constitutionalist Party candidate, you know, knee deep in some Republican or Democratic district. You know, it's hard to find that support. So I do commend you guys for putting your group together, and you guys have a big festival coming up. You're on a tour right now. Tell us about the tour, and then you guys are going to end this summer in a big festival. Tell us about that.
Well, that Larry King debate, that is just to see the beginning of Free and Equal. Last November, I was invited to come and speak at in the Fed rally by a gentleman named Mark Daniels and leaders across the spectrum, Dugan King, Chido. And they put together this amazing event with all the press came and local, ending the Federal Reserve. And so I decided, well, where better to hold a United We Stand festival than Little Rock, Arkansas? Again, a United We Stand festival in Little Rock on June 22nd at the Verizon Arena. There's going to be over 17,000 people in this arena, and it's just the kickoff for a university bus tour that we're going to hold as early as the fall or next spring.
That's great. And then you have this big United We Stand festival coming up. Tell us about some of the people who are going to be there.
Well, we just confirmed, I want to announce on your show today, Jesse Ventura, the former, as you know, governor of Minnesota. I mean, he came out and won, overcame the odds. He got into the debates, and he's going to come out and address on his book tour, his new book, which is just going to be fabulous, and how he got into the debates, and, you know, that we need to break the stranglehold of the two-party system. Ralph Nader will be participating as well. We have a dynamite lineup from the president of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, to Sheriff Mack, and, of course, music. Ron Paul couldn't have said it better. The quote here, if ever you can bring about revolutionary changes, two things would be required. Young people would have to be involved, and you would need music. We're going to make it fun. So Golden State Band, James Grundler, thanks to them, their producer, our manager, Mike Boggio. They did the song. Have you heard it? They've actually been interviewed with Alex in this war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're going to be the music. And we're going to bring together Sheriff Mack will be speaking there. Amber Lyon, the former CNN reporter, whistleblower. I anticipate Ben Swan will be there, too. And I just got off the phone with Dr. Ron Paul this past Saturday. He knows about the event, and he's interested. So we're really, really excited to bring together music. Tom Morello, I'm expecting and hoping he'll be there, from Lupe Fiasco. We want Joe Rogan to MC the event. Elizabeth Zero will be MCing it. So it's quite a variety, and it's the beginning, again, for creating that national movement. And really, Rob, I want to extend a personal invitation for Alex Jones himself to be up there on stage and joining Jesse Ventura and Ralph Nader and hopefully Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich. You know, all these amazing, honest leaders from media, organizations, you name it, coming together to kick off our university bus tour, which will kick off our national database. And that's another topic I could talk about.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to say this about Jesse Ventura. He actually said on our show, and I'll let Alex know about the invitation, definitely. He said he would actually run for president if he was able to get on the ballot in all 50 states, not as a Democrat or Republican, but as an independent. He said if he could get on the ballot in all 50 states, no problem, he would consider running. And I think we even proposed at the time running as a running mate with Ron Paul, when Ron Paul was running for president. And so Jesse is somebody who I still think is not quite ready to give up on the political system. He still thinks there is something there and that he has something to contribute. So I think that's great that Jesse Ventura is going to be there, and you've got all these other great names, Amber Lyon, Larry Pratt, who we have on the show a lot, Sheriff Mack, who's just, you know, a stalwart, you know, fighting there to, you know, wake up sheriffs and get them on, you know, based on the Constitution. So I think this is going to be a great event that you have going on. Yeah, I also see you've talked to G. Edward Griffin, or is he coming as well?
It's a possibility. I'm very interested, too. It's quite a variety of individuals. David Grohl, as we know, Foo Fighters. He's mm-hmm. just off Sound City with Paul McCartney and Stevie Nicks. They're invited. And our producer, Mike O'Donnell, he's actually the artistic producer. You may have heard of Pirates of the Caribbean, Spider-Man 2, Terminator. He's producing the event with Marcy Forgrave of ADM Disc, who produced our Larry King debate. So these wonderful individuals coming together. We even have a 19-year-old kid by the name of Dan Johnson, who started up the People Against the National Defense Authorization Act in January. 60 chapters he has. This kid that's going to be on stage saying, if I can do it, you can do it, you can do it, to all these kids out there. So this movement is the uprising. It's the history is on our side, the positive, powerful, peaceful, uniting across the spectrum. Parties have been intentionally dividing us for centuries. We're here to unite. Parties don't work. Parties can't be fixed from within. We saw what happened to Dr. Ron Paul, unfortunately. And so this movement and the national database we'll be launching as early next year. We'll list every single candidate running for office. We'll be linking to InfoWars, Honest Media, a building, driving traffic, pulling in the information through our free and equal network. We'd love to have Alex on that someday too. Jesse Ventura, Ralph Nader, and of course, and so on. Gary Johnson, which was on it last week. But in any case, building and creating our own movement and, ultimately bringing integrity within our government and bringing our government back to the origins of the Constitution. And so it's really real, and history's on our side, and this is the movement that everybody's waiting for. And I wholeheartedly hope to meet Alex Jones and Austin soon, and I really want him to be there because this is a movement about bringing everybody together.
Well, it sounds like you're almost fulfilling a trend that Gerald Celente spoke about, how a third party is going to emerge, taking libertarian ideals, taking some liberal ideals together, and kind of melding together into this mass of people that is totally just fed up with the system. So you guys are actually fulfilling a trend that Gerald Celente talked about several years ago.
Rob, actually, I don't agree with Gerald, because I've been on the inside of the National Libertarian Green Party. And while at the state level, I find integrity for the most part across the board, the national level, even third parties get infiltrated as they get bigger. I've firsthand seen that in the last decade. So, you know, again, parties don't work. The Constitution doesn't mention parties. Yes, our forefathers weren't, you know, they became a part of the problem, but they themselves thought parties were evil. And so, you know, here at Free and Equal, we're here to shift the power back to the independents, the individuals, through our national database. And this festival that we're having is, again, the kickoff for the 10 Stop University bus tour. It's going to have music. It's going to be fun, entertainment, comedians, social media, networking. It's those kids, the youth that are watching your show today. They're the game changers for the 2014 state, federal, local races. They're the ones that are going to make a difference in the world, and they're the ones that are going to get involved with the process of running for office. Maybe I ran at 28 years of age for office. And by the way, Rob, I'm in Arkansas today, traveling across the state. I've had dozen or more already in our first stop or two, newspapers, radios, announcing, being on the ground. And we're actually being hosted at three different universities, Little Rock, Jonesboro, so on. They're hosting us, the faculty, student groups, again, from Young Americans for Liberty. It's that connection on the grassroots level that is really key into reforming the system and making the world a better place. And when we do, technology will advance. People will live longer. There will be cures, I believe, for everything. As you know, the government's been intentionally holding back technology. Let's fix that.
Well, that has some great ideas in there, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I have a couple questions for you. One, how are you going to choose candidates that you're going to support in these state and local elections? And then, and another part of this is, how is the national media treating your organization? Do you find they're dismissive? Do you find that they try to push you aside as compared to the grassroots media? If you can answer those two questions.
Well, as far as the national media, you know, the Larry King debate, we were somewhat ignored. It was the international media. Who would have thought RT America, Al Jazeera, Larry King's show came in, Aura TV, and covered us. Then C-SPAN, finally, the final day came in, but MSNBC showed it, Jimmy Kimmel even. So we're breaking through the media, and what I've learned is that, you know, the candidates in office, D's and R's alike, they're controlled by Wall Street, you know, which the Federal Reserve, you know, it's a private institution signed into office by Woodrow Wilson back in 1913. It's a private institution, you know, run by a few powerful people. And so here at Free and Equal, we're going to create our own media, again, through the Free and Equal Network to build others like InfoWars and through the national database. And your question, I believe, was about candidates.
Yeah, how are you going to pick choose candidates to back, or what will that process be?
Well, Free and Equal is a nonprofit, so as a nonprofit, our role is to, for example, if there's 15 or 20 candidates that run in your local races in your area in 2014, they'll all be equally listed on the database. Also, the money, if they're getting money from a super PAC, if we don't know the amount, we'll say, oh, the executive board of directors are these. We'll know if super PAC's good or not. We'll be linking to, conferences that we have, leaders, media, InfoWars, and just all these different genres of honest media leaders to help create that intellectual dialogue, positive dialogue. And so while Free and Equal cannot endorse the nonprofit, you better believe that I will be personally endorsing a lot of candidates. What kind of candidates? Maybe a 10 or 20 point platform of, being against the NDAA, against OPA, against drones, against the drug war, against war. You know, some pretty basic things that we can agree on across the spectrum. So we will create that free and equal level playing field for candidates to be able to win. And we'll be doing that and indirectly and directly offering the resources through the Free and Equal Movement, which, again, is here to build others.
Excellent. Well, how can people find out more about Free and Equal and the United We Stand Festival? Where do people go?
Sure. United We Stand, you can go at our website, freeandequal.org today, freeandequal.org. You can volunteer. You can RSVP for your tickets. We're going to sell them in a week or two, starting at $25 a piece. We want to open it up. This whole movement is about getting the youth to run for office. I did it at 28 years of age. You can do it. You can. And so we're going to give them, again, the resources, the ability to win. And you can find, again, our event is United We Stand Festival, June 22nd. It'll be Saturday in Little Rock at the Verizon Arena at freeandequal.org. Alex Jones, you're invited. We'd love to have you there. The future's a positive. Positive. That's the market. We all know the problems. Now we can't be angry anymore. We have to be positive. And that's the direction that we need to go in to make the world a better place. And you are wholeheartedly welcomed by not only myself, but the dozens of leaders on the ground, our national team, to come out in Little Rock and be a part of this historic event.
All right. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a big party. I'm pretty excited to see how it turns out. And we'll be getting more updates from you in the future. And I can imagine we'll have a if Alex isn't able to make it, because he does do a lot of work here. I mean, he was here for 14 hours yesterday working. I think we can have a camera crew there showing people what's going on and maybe getting some good interviews with some of the guests that you have speaking. It's an exciting lineup. So thanks for talking with us, and we will talk with you soon.
See you soon. See your crew there, and hopefully, Alex, this is it. This is the movement. Thank you.
All right. Well, there she goes. That's Christina Tobin with freeandequal.org. And, I think it's great that we're having a group dedicated to just getting out of the two-party system. That's what we need. You know, and look, what you're going to find when you get diverse groups of people together, there will be some differences. But we have to understand that we all have to find some common ground in the fact that our current system is totally broken and we do need to do something about it. And I think this is a step in the right direction. And with that, that's our show tonight. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It's only $5.95 a month. And you can also share your username and passcode with up to 11 people who can simultaneously be logged on with one username and passcode at the same time. So it's PrisonPlanet.tv. We have Alex's movies in there. There's a great one in there that just passed up from the former sheriff's deputy. That's Eddie Craig. Over 2 hours of information that you need to know, especially before you get pulled over by the police in their transportation code system. You want to know the facts, so you have them on your side. And with that, that's our show. We'll see you next time. This is Rob Dew with InfoWars Nightly News.